Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
We're in a series entitled For Everyone as we're going through the book of Galatians. We started this journey about 9 weeks ago. And the reason I entitled this For Everyone is because as Paul writes, what we now know as a book, the book of Galatians, was not known as a book then. It was a letter that Paul was writing to the church at Galatia. And the reason he was writing this letter to the church at Galatia was he was to deal with some stuff and set some stuff order in the church. Because what had happened at this time is there were those that had traditions that they wanted everybody to adhere to in order to be a part of the Christian faith. And Paul comes on the scene and really begins to say, hey, look, guys, it's not about the traditions. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about focusing on him. If your traditions help you do that, then so be it. But the point of this isn't to serve the traditions. The traditions are there to help point us to Jesus. And so Paul begins to write this letter to set some things in order. And really, in Galatians chapter 3, I feel like the whole premise of it is found is that it says there is no Jew, there's no Greek. There's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the title For Everyone. And here's what I believe, that as we focus in on the message of the Bible, the message of the scriptures, that it really is for everyone. And a church that keeps that at the forefront of everything can be a place for everyone. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to continue our reading today. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And as we read it, please keep in mind that Paul, as he's writing this letter, is setting up who he is to the church at Galatia, reminding them who he is, defending his apostleship, that he was chosen by God to do this work. And now he's beginning to talk about some of his journeys and talk about some of those missions that he was on. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, and I took with me Barnabas and Titus after 14 years. Why has Paul not been there for 14 years? At this point in Paul's life, his conversion from not following Jesus to now following Jesus has been roughly around 17 years. After he was converted, he went into Jerusalem, but when the people there, when the Jews saw him, they remembered him as the one that used to persecute them for their faith, not the one that was a part of their faith. And so literally there was a statement going around in Jerusalem like, hey, this is Paul, the one who used to be against us, and now he's preaching the good news for us. What's going on? And so because of this, Paul used this as a point to transition out, maybe realizing a little bit in the natural that this wasn't the best time for him to be preaching yet in Jerusalem, leaves, and now has not been there for 14 years. And so as he's writing this, he's reminding them, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, took with me some guys, because the spiritual journey is better together, isn't it? Come on, small group leaders, that would be a great place to say amen on small group launch Sunday. Come on, the spiritual journey is better together, isn't it? And so Paul takes with him Titus and Barnabas, and I went up according to a revelation. I want you to highlight that, whether it just be in your mind or if you have a digital Bible, you can highlight that. That thought revelation. Think about this. Paul has not been to Jerusalem for 14 years. He exited preaching to the Gentiles now, focusing his ministry there, reaching out to people. But he goes up to Jerusalem after 14 years based on a revelation. What does the word revelation mean? It's a disclosure, an appearing, a coming, and a light, a manifestation, a revelation. In other words, Paul hears from God. All right? And based on what he hears from God, he then goes back to Jerusalem after 14 years. Just highlight that. We're gonna talk about that. And presented to them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those recognized as leaders, so that I might not be running or have run the race in vain. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying this, man, I got this revelation. God communicated to me that I'm to go to Jerusalem and I'm to preach the gospel. I'm so convinced that this is God that I want to make sure I set it up for success. I don't want to have gone up there in vain. So before I preach to the masses, I'm going to pull in the close leaders, and I'm going to talk with them first and share with them first what I'm about to preach to the masses, make sure they're okay with it before I go and preach. And so he meets with the leaders, shares with the leaders, here's what I'm going to preach. The leaders all say, okay, it's good. And then he goes and preaches. This is how important that communication was between him and God when he got this revelation. He wanted to make sure that he wasn't disqualified. Verse 3, but not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Table that for another time. This issue arose because of false brothers smuggled in who came in secretly to spy on freedom that we have in Christ Jesus in order to enslave us. What is he saying there? He's saying that, look, they were trying to bring in their traditions of circumcision and other rituals and other things. These people came in, they snuck in, they were smuggled in, however they came in, and they were preaching another gospel, and they were putting on people, hey, you got to do this in order to serve Jesus, in order that they might be enslaved. Verse 5, but we did not give up and submit to these people for even an hour. Isn't that cool? It didn't even, not even gonna phase us. Dun-na-na-na, can't touch this. For those of you that were born and raised in that era. Not even for an hour. Somebody in there is like, what is happening on stage? So that the truth of the gospel would be preserved for you. Isn't that awesome? Paul gets a revelation. He's gone for 14 years. Paul has this encounter with God. God speaks to him, and he's so certain that it's God that he takes care with this journey, and he goes and he begins to break down the traditions that are being raised up in these other places. I want to speak to you for the next few moments on hearing the voice of God. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your word. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, Lord, you would speak to us, and God, that we would hear directly from this passage. It would communicate truth to us. God, I pray that your word would come alive and it would correct us where we need to be corrected. It would direct us where we need to be directed. God, it would strengthen us in our spiritual journey. Lord, I pray that you'd help me now in these moments that we have together to build an atmosphere for people to encounter your son, Jesus, know your incredible love, and realize the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Has anybody ever heard that statement before? Maybe you've been hanging out in a group, maybe a small group, maybe at church, or maybe just in passing, and you hear someone say something like, oh yeah, I heard God say to me the other day. Anybody ever heard that before? Am I the only one? Some of you have heard that? Or maybe you hear like, someone would say like, oh yeah, God led me down this whatever path. Anybody ever hear that before? Now I've heard that. I remember I was so frustrated when I was younger because I would hear that. I would hear somebody say, oh yeah, I heard God speak to me the other day. And I'm like, what? God spoke to you? Like, why has he not spoken to me? And I don't care what he said, but what does his voice sound like? Is it like Barry Manilow, right? I mean, is it like Marvin Gaye? Like, what does his voice sound like? I want to know. Like, I don't care what he said to you, but what does his voice sound like? Because I want to know if I ever hear it, right? I remember I used to get so frustrated with that. I would hear people say that, and I'd be like, what do you mean he spoke to you? Anybody ever wonder that? Like, what does that mean? And what does his voice sound like? God led me in this direction. I'm like literally God showed up and you followed him to San Diego? Well, of course, God lives in San Diego, but... Right? I mean, wherever you moved from to get here, trust me, God don't live there. You live here. Right? I mean, what did that look like? What do you mean you followed him? And I remember sometimes just thinking, I want to know what God's voice sounds like. Here's what we need to understand, that really one of the most important things, hearing the voice of God in our spiritual journey, sometimes can become one of the most complicated things, can't it? Like hearing the voice of God, like what is that? And yet that's what we need in this spiritual journey in order to progress. And here's something I learned a long time ago is that following the voice of God is a lot like a scavenger hunt. Anybody ever been on a scavenger hunt before? Nobody, okay, five of you. All right, you need to get out and have some fun. I grew up, in a home where we did scavenger hunts for things like Halloween because it was an option. Because I'll be honest with you, I grew up in a home where everything that seemed bad was of the devil. Like, you could not have playing cards. What do you mean, like cards in your house? If you had cards in your house, you were surely going to hell. True story. Like so much so that my brothers who are older than me, my two older brothers, they like smuggled cards into the house so that my parents, you're laughing, but this is a true story. You can ask my mom later. I exaggerate sometimes, Mom, but this one's true. Like you smuggled cards in and then like they would want to play penny poker. Because if you played real poker, you're going to hell. And so they would like be on the bed playing, and if the door opened, they'd hide it real quick and just pretend like they're talking. Anybody else grow up in a home like that, or is that just me, right? Like this is the era I grew up in. Like cards, like going to a movie, you were probably Satan. Like you could not go to a movie. Like you could watch television for some reason, but if you went to that theater, oh, you must be the devil himself. True story. I did not watch my first movie until I was 16 years old. Young people, where you at? You think you got it tough with your little iPhones? Man, you were like, if back in my day you had those things, you were definitely the devil and going to hell. Didn't go to my first movie until I was 16 years old. Here's the best part about it, though, is, and this will show you how old I am, is that my very first movie was an epic one, though. It was Return of the Jedi. Woo! That's the most claps and applause amens I've ever gotten in church. Wow. And this was before really cool effects, but that was my first movie experience. I remember being a teenager and we'd go to school and my friends would all be talking about the movies they saw, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So growing up in that home, when it came to be Halloween time, like, you know, like Satan's Day, like we were not going trick-or-treating, but my parents were cool. They instead did a scavenger hunt for us, right? Like put together the scavenger hunt, the little clues, and each clue was a piece of candy until you got to like the final like pot of candy at the end. It was awesome. We'd follow these clues and it was wonderful. I love to do scavenger hunts still for my kids today. Even if they don't like to do them, I make them do them. Because I like them. And if I like them, you will do it. And so because I grew up and I love scavenger hunts, so I'll never forget, I think about my wife and I don't know if we were married yet or we were engaged. We're either engaged or just got married. We were at a great church and my college pastor came to me and said, hey, I want you to plan a scavenger hunt. And I'm like, yes, hello. Is there like a sign on my head that says I am the scavenger hunt king or what? I will definitely plan a scavenger hunt for you. And so, man, my wife and I were so into this thing that we didn't just get up there the day of. We took a special trip 3 hours to go visit the place we're gonna have the retreat so that we could plan the scavenger hunt, right? And so we planned an epic scavenger hunt because it's a college Christian retreat. We had to have like a Christian twist to it. So all of our clues were verses. But not just any verses, the words were chopped up and they had to arrange them in the right order. I told you I'm the king. So they put these things in, and then they would follow it and go to the clue and get the clue and go to the next one, and they're having so much fun. They're into this thing, you know, and they're following from this clue to that clue and going to this thing to that thing. And the last one said, you had to put it together, said, and he leads me beside still waters. So they're all running out to the river, and they're like, I don't see anything. I was like, because it's a river. It's not still. Check out the pool, buddy. So they go to the pool, and the last clue is 12 feet down at the bottom of the pool. Now, this is in Washington where this took place, and it was like in the fall, and so it's cold. So this whole entire scavenger hunt, they're fully clothed and like in jackets, and they're all standing at the pool. All of them have finished, and they're standing there, and they're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, scavenger hunt king, hello. But my college pastor, who is just all in on everything, he just comes running in and without even saying, just jumps in fully clothed, grabs the clue, comes up, celebrates, wins the scavenger hunt. Said, Ben, why are you sharing that story with us? Because that's a lot like what hearing the voice of God is like. It's like a scavenger hunt. You go from one clue to the next clue to the next clue. Now, I know it'd be great. Wouldn't it be great if we could just sit down on, like, every morning with our cup of coffee or tea, if you're that person. No offense. Your cup of coffee or tea and your chocolate croissant, and you sit down, and if you're about to start your day, and you're just like, God, tell me my day today. Wouldn't that be great? Anybody else think that'd be great, right? But you know what's not like that? He gives you little clues along the way. He speaks to you in bits and pieces, and as you grab this one and go to the next one, and then go to the next one, and then go to the next. You know, the Bible says this in Isaiah. The Bible says to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon his name when he is near. Think about that for a moment. Now, we're not talking like geographically near, but there are moments in your spiritual journey when literally it feels like God is closer to you, like your prayers are getting answered quicker. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's actually biblical, that in those moments that we gotta seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon his name while he is near. And maybe it's in a moment of worship like today. Maybe it was in a moment where somebody was getting baptized, but you just kind of, what is that I'm sensing? That's God, that's his presence. And it's in that moment that the Bible says, hey, right now, what is it? What's on your heart? Seek him, you know, call upon him right now. It's a scavenger hunt. I love what James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now here's the thing. Look, God is always coming after humanity. God is always attempting to draw near to you. God is always pursuing you. God has always been into you. God has always been about you. He's always been drawing near to you. Here's the thing. It's not about him drawing. It's about what direction are you going? If he is coming after you and drawing near to you, because that's always been his heart and that's always been what he's been doing, but yet sometimes we're going this direction. What we need to do is we need to stop and we need to come back to this direction. And as we draw near to him, we realize he's always been drawing near to us. See, I used to look at that scripture a long time ago and I used to think that, okay, if I do something, if I draw near to him, okay, then God will draw near to me. No, 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 ladies and gentlemen, he's always been drawing near to you. He's always been coming after you. He's always been consumed with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. What was that? That was him drawing near to you. Don't mess that verse up, because if we mess up that verse, we think that we have to do something in order to get a response from him. He is always responding to you. He is always after you. He is always pursuing you. We just need to stop and turn and draw near to him. We need to follow the clues that he's leaving for us. Those little things that happen in our life. And as we do, we're going to talk about this more in just a minute, as we do, and we go to the next place, and then the next place, and then the next place. Here's the problem, though, that most of us aren't really led by God. Even in our spiritual journey, most of us are led by our emotions and our feelings and our circumstances. And oftentimes, what's culturally acceptable and relevant. Are you with me? I mean, if we're gonna be honest, like a lot of times we're just led by our feelings and our emotions. Like I feel like doing this, or I feel like this is the right thing. Now listen to me, feelings are great and feelings can come into play, but if the only thing leading us is feelings, we're gonna have problems. If the only thing leading us is emotions, we're gonna have problems. Come on, ladies, where are you at? Big amen. Man, I got quiet. Notice none of the men said amen either, because they're sitting next to their wife. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. Liar. Man, we can be led by our feelings and our emotions. That's the way a lot of it is, but that's not the way we were supposed to be led. We're meant to be led by our emotions and our feelings. We're meant to be led by the voice of God. Paul has this revelation, this encounter, This moment where he knows that God spoke to him, and it is so real and so strong that it takes him back to a place he hasn't been for 14 years. Not only that, he handles it with so much care because he knows it's God. So how do we, ladies and gentlemen, today hear the voice of God? How do we hear the voice of God? Now, here's what you would love for me to tell you. You'd love for me to tell you, like, it sounds like this. And when you hear it, do this, right? I mean, let's be honest. That's the way that most of us want. Like, we come to church, like, we just want, like, could you just tell me what to do? You know the point of church? The point of church is to get you to the one that has the answers. The point of church is not for us to answer all the questions. It's not the answer. Here's the thing. There are so many people here, it'd take a long time to go through and answer everything that's on your heart, but here's the great news, is I can point you to the one that already knows your heart and already has all the answers, and if I do that and you can get in tune with him, then all of your questions are answered. Amen? So let me just give you a few things that I believe that if we can apply these to our life, you will be able to walk and hear the voice of God very clearly. Are you with me this morning? There's a harbor in Italy, and it's a very narrow harbor. And this harbor in Italy is so narrow that if the boats don't come in right in this channel, that they'll actually hit the rocks and it'll damage the boat. And so what they did is a while ago, they discovered that if they put these three lights out in the harbor, when the captain is coming in and he lines those three lights up so it just looks like one light, and they go towards that one light, they won't hit the rocks and they'll travel safely in. I want to give you some thoughts that I believe that if you line these things up, it'll be like that. You line up these points, these ideas I'm going to give you, and when they line up, I believe that you're going to have some safe travels in your spiritual journey. Now, here's the thing, is that, kind of like a scavenger hunt. You're not always going to get all the clues right. Right? Like when you're reading, like, I believe God's saying this. But there's safety nets within there, and we're going to talk about some of that. But here's the thing. Don't get down on yourself if all of the things don't line up and if you made some decisions, you're like, well, that didn't work out. That's okay. Come on, get those things lined back up and keep moving with Jesus. And here's the other thing. The reason I like to think about hearing the voice of God like a scavenger hunt is because scavenger hunts are fun. Right? For those of you that have been on them, I mean, who would go on a scavenger hunt if it wasn't fun? Right? I think back in my childhood. The reason we kept going to the next clue is because it was fun to find the clues. It was fun to go on the journey. Could you imagine if my mom was like, okay, scavenger hunt time, I'll give you the first clue when you punch your brother in the face. Well, actually, that might be fun. So. But you know what I mean? Like, if it was something that you're just like, are you kidding me? Like, this is not enjoyable at all. What are you doing? Just give me the candy, right? No, scavenger hunts are fun. Listen to me. Discovering the voice of God and hearing the voice of God is fun. There's been moments when I would hear people say that and I'd be like, what do I got to do to hear the voice of God? I'm going to meditate for hours. That's me meditating because I don't know how to do it. And I'm just like, okay, I got to do more. I want to hear his voice. No, hearing the voice of God, going on that journey, it's fun. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. Because here's the thing, the scavenger hunt, it's not always about the destination, it's about the process that took you to the destination. When I do it for my kids, they wouldn't come back and be like, oh, look what I got. They'd be like, oh my gosh, Dad, that was so much fun. There was a point in their life, and they probably won't admit it, they probably still want me to do it, but there was a point in their life when they would ask for, hey, Dad, you remember that scavenger hunt? Could you do another one of those? Why? Because it's fun. And discovering the voice of God and hearing his voice and walking in it is fun. But yet sometimes it seems like it is difficult. Let me just share with you these lights that I believe if you line up, you'll have safe passage in your spiritual journey. Number one, just some practical things. Number one, when hearing the voice of God, number one, there's gotta be some self-evaluation. Self-evaluation. Let me read this verse to you. It says this in Proverbs 16:9. It says, man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. That there's got to be some self-evaluation of, okay, what season of life am I in? What is happening around me? What circumstances are in my life? What plans do I need to make? Because man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. It's in that self-evaluation moment where I believe we can begin to hear the voice of God. Because as we begin to plan our ways, we give the Lord something to direct within us. Because here's the thing, even though we're to walk by faith, not by sight, let's be honest, we all walk in by what we see until we get to that place of absolute faith. And so there's gotta be this self-evaluation moment where we discern and like, okay, what's happening here and what pieces are all in there? And here's what happens in that. Because there is a thing called divine providence. And that is the understanding that God is in control of the circumstances, that God is in control of my life. And it's in that moment of self-evaluation where I begin to realign my thought with that and realize, okay, God, you're in control. God, you've got some things lined up for me, so now I'm going to plan, but come on, ultimately, God is going to direct your steps. Here's the thing, too oftentimes we want to take ourselves completely out of the equation, don't we? Like just tell me what to do. I don't want to think about it. Just come on, tell me so I know what to do. No, we've got to put ourselves in it and be like, okay, here's what's happening. God gave you this, not just this. Are you with me? Let's apply this in this moment. Number two, I believe if you line this one up. Number two, hearing the voice of God. Number two, reading the word. Reading the word. This thing right here. Now, I wanna caution you, because I was a part of a movement for a while where it was like, hey, I want a word for the day. Boom. You know, and then David slept with Bathsheba. What? That don't sound right. My name ain't David, and I don't know a Bathsheba. Right? I mean, it's like, what's happening here, you know? And then they led their oxen to the water. What does that mean? I need to go buy some oxen. And in San Diego, hopefully they like salt water, right? Here's what I mean by this. The word. The Bible says that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How does that work? We're daily in this right here. And this right here is ultimately a guiding source for us, meaning that we're not going to be ruled by emotions, meaning when circumstances come up and I'm going through self-evaluation, wait a second, I don't understand everything that's around me. That's okay, I don't have to, because the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, to be anxious for nothing, but with all prayer and supplication, make my requests known to him, and the peace of God that surpasses all human comprehension will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. In that moment, his word has become a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are you with me this morning? But the thing is, if we're not reading the word, we have no lamp and we have no light. Here's the coolest thing about it. He puts the lamp on my feet. What is that? That gives me the next step. That's the next step in the process. This is where I'm at, and I'm gonna take this next step. It's a lamp right before me, but it's also a guiding light, making sure I'm walking in the right direction. I can look up and I can see, okay, God, you're lighting the way, that's where I'm going, but now the next step is obvious as well, because his word is a lamp unto my feet. You gotta be in the word. You gotta be in the word. Read the Bible. And here's the thing, is I think too oftentimes, did anybody do Cliff Notes in high school? Yeah, all the hands went up, yeah. Notice you're all sitting in the back. No, just kidding. Cliff Notes were great back in the day, right? Like, you never had to read a book. You just read the Cliff Notes, right? But if you live your spiritual journey that way, man, it's not gonna be too good. It's not gonna go too well. You just showing up on Sunday morning, man, that is a positive, that's a plus, and man, we're hearing, we're together. But if all you do is show up on Sunday morning, we're not reading this, you're just getting the Cliff Notes. I can't give you the whole book in 30 minutes. Pastor, you never go for 30 minutes. You're like 45, be honest, whatever. You gotta get more than the Cliff Notes. Come on, you gotta get this. Hey, you ever been on a walk with somebody and it's dark out and they got one flashlight, right? They keep going back and forth so they can see. That's a flashlight. That's how some of you live in your Christian life, because you ain't got a lamp and you ain't got a light because you ain't reading the word. That was tweetable, by the way. Number three, you got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. I gave you the verse earlier, Philippians 4:4-6. Don't be anxious for anything. We got to pray. Pray that that's where you converse with God. And here's the coolest thing about those moments when you're conversing with God. Not only does peace come into your heart, but clarity comes. And here's the thing that I've come to realize. A lot of times he doesn't give you specifics and clarity of, hey, do this, do that, although he does do that. But what happens is he just clears up your heart and your emotions so that now you can think properly. That's why the Bible says don't be anxious for anything. What does anxiety do? Causes fear, causes doubt, causes confusion, causes complication. You're like, I don't know what to do. Just prayed for somebody after the first service, and that's where they were at. There's so much going on. And I just feel like God gave me a word for this person. We prayed. And then afterwards, they're like, oh, man, I feel so much better. Yeah, because all of a sudden now the confusion and the haze and all that stuff is leaving. See, it's not so much about your external circumstance changing as much as it's your internal. And man, that place of prayer, all of a sudden now there's another light lighting up. Like, okay, I feel like, yeah, we can make some headway here. Let me just close with this one. Worship team, you can come. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? I know you're like me and you'd love for it to just come. And I tell you, here's what you need to do, right? Like I don't know, is anybody else like that? Like, I just want to know the easy steps. Like, when I walk into a place, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Like, how many of you guys go to a restaurant and you're like, what would you recommend? Don't raise your hand. There's all these great options. Well, what would you recommend? And then they say salad, and you're like, new server, please. You know, like, salad? It's like an appetizer, please. It's not a dinner. Unless it's got a steak on top of it. With some garlic mashed potatoes underneath it. I think too oftentimes, like, we just want somebody to tell us what to do. But no, one of the greatest joys in the spiritual journey is going on the scavenger hunt, is waiting on God. And God gives you a clue, and you don't even know if you're going in the right direction. It's okay, just go with it. That's one of the greatest joys about the spiritual journey, man. But so often we just want to show up on Sunday, Pastor, fix me. And I'm like, there ain't no help for you, except for Jesus. Right? I was a youth pastor for nearly 20 years. And I can tell you time after time after time, like parents come to me like, Pastor, I need your help. I'm like, what's going on? It's like, well, this is what's going on. They list off all the problems they're having with their kid. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? I want you to fix them. I'm like, well, step one, they need to get different parents. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, I can't fix them. I can't fix them. I can point them to Jesus and he can fix them. But you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. So when they get older, they won't depart from it. You're just reaping what you raised. I can't fix them, but I can point them to Jesus, right? Listen, the reality is no one here can fix you or your situation or your circumstance, but we can point you continually to the one who can, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's the point. That's the point of church. That's the point. That's the guiding light. Last one, let me just give this to you because I got another one, another light. You say, Pastor, there were only three in Italy. I know, I'm going to give you four. Here it is. Go and pull it up. Pull up number four. Listen to wise and godly people. Listen to wise and godly people. Listen to wise and godly people. The Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know what number four is? Listening to wise. That's the safety net. That's the safety net that you need in your life. Because a lot of times the other ones can be a little bit subjective. Well, I was reading the word and I got this and I was in prayer and I felt this and all of those are good and they're lining up. But let me tell you, just as a pastor even, man, I have safety nets all around me. Matter of fact, this week as I was even developing my message, I called Pastor Steve and I'm like, hey, here's Galatians 2, 1 through 5. Here's my points that I see in scripture and I could point these all back to Paul and what he did. and men sent me like three different emails with thoughts and different stuff. What is that? That's a safety net. Am I seeing the passage right? Am I getting this out of it? Does this look good? Like, what do you think? And I went to a wise and godly person that could speak into that. That's the way that God wants. Look what Paul does when he goes back to Jerusalem. He didn't go alone. He took Barnabas and Titus. So I was there a little while ago by myself, and they were accusing me of being, you know, the guy that was rallying against. I'm going to bring some people with me so they can testify about my life as well. 14 years later. I said, Pastor, why do we have small groups? Why are we having small groups launch Sunday? You're going to hear about small groups every single Sunday on this screen. Some of you don't even know what's on the screen anymore because you like tune out. Like, yeah, they're going to talk about like three things and then, oh, that one looks like fun. Oh, I missed it. But why do we have this launch? Because we understand number four. We need to be hanging out with wise and godly people. I'm not saying that your small group leader is super wise and godly, although they are. What I'm saying is as you get into that community, you're gonna be around some like-minded people that are wise and godly. You're gonna develop relationships. You're gonna have a safety net. So as you're trying to discern the voice of God and you're trying to line up the lights and you're like, well, this is what's going on in my life right now. And man, I've been in the Word and I feel like He's leading me in this direction. And in prayer, I got this the other day. And all of a sudden now you begin to bring in that's the safety net. And they're like, yeah, we hear that. We see that. We sense that. Man, that's God. Begin to go in that direction. You say, Pastor, but what's His voice sound like? It sounds different to all of us. It sounds different to all of us. That's why I can't give you like, here, listen for this. This is the voice of God. Listen to that. That's the voice of God. But what I can do is I can do what they did in Italy. I said, hey, here's four lights for you. Start to line those things up and you go down that direction. I'm telling you, you're heading in the right place. You're heading in the right direction. Come on, keep going in that way. Are you enjoying the journey? Are you having fun? Good. The scavenger hunt should be fun. People come to me all the time and they're like, Pastor, hey, I got this job opportunity. Do you think I should take it? And I learned a long time ago, I'm not gonna tell them to take it or not to take it. Because if I tell them to take it and it doesn't work out, guess who gets blamed? Pastor, you told me to take it. I also told you to tithe off it and you didn't do that either. But if they take it and it goes well, I'll never even hear from them. Because here's the thing, I don't think God's overly concerned about the job, overly concerned about the neighborhood. Here's what I believe with all my heart. God is not building your job. God is not building your neighborhood. God is building His church. 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 And so I always ask people back this, hey, if taking the job, if you take that job, does it further the kingdom of God? Are you more fruitful in your spiritual journey? And is it gonna bring more joy in the journey for you? And if the answer to those questions is yes, then by all means, take the job. But if taking the job just means you get more money, but you're not furthering the kingdom of God and you're not more fruitful in your spiritual journey and it doesn't bring more joy to your life, then don't take it. I go back to that all the time, over and over and over and over again, because God is into building His church. God is into building humanity. God is into building you up so that you could walk out of here, lining up those lights, hearing His voice, and walking with a great direction that He has for your life. Are you with me this morning? God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You that Your word is awesome. Go and stand to your feet this morning if you would. God, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You that Your word truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, we thank You that Your word comes, but it's not just Your word alone. It's one of the lights. God, we thank You for the power of prayer and communication with You. God, we thank You for the safety net of wise and godly people. And so, Lord, we thank You right now that all of those leading to that divine hand of providence that will lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, into great places that we could be influencers for Your name's sake. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You're here today, and we'll finish up with this. You're here, and you would say, Pastor, you nailed it. That's me. I'm in that season. I need clarity. I needed direction. I needed to hear the voice of God. You're saying, that's me. With every eye closed, you just shoot your hand in the air so I know who I'm praying for this morning. Yeah, go ahead and lift it up high. I'll pray for you. Amen. Go and put your hand. You're here today, and you would say, you know what, Pastor? I need the first one. I don't even know Jesus. That's the ultimate guiding light right there. I don't know Jesus. I don't have Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. I didn't realize that when I walked in, but I realized that today. I need Jesus. And you're here right now, and you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. How do I do it? Could you help me out? Every eye closed, every head bowed. That's you. Just shoot your hand in there right now. I need Jesus. Anybody at all? There was one in the first service. There's another one. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Amen. 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 God is good. I'm going to pray for all those in just a minute, but I want to pray this prayer together. Can you pray this prayer out loud with me today? Say, Jesus. Come on, everyone today. Say, Jesus, help me this week to be empowered by your Spirit, to follow the guiding lights of truth so that I can make an impact in my community around me. Jesus, help me be a place that people can encounter you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Lord, I thank you for today. God, I pray for those that raise their hands saying, I need clarity. I need to line up those lights. I need to line up those truths so that I can know your voice. I pray that as we do that, we continue to go on that hunt and you continue to lead us in a joyful spiritual journey. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.